Today is the start of a marvelous time of year. Really, the best time of year. Amen? Christmas is like no other time of the season. We don't just give a day to the Christmas celebration. We give a whole month to the Christmas celebration. And that's certainly evident of the aspect of Christmas that is special and that is unique and that sets it apart from any other time of the year. In order to help prepare our hearts for the celebration this year of the birth of Christ, we will do a four-week series entitled An Unexpected Christmas, with really the focus being on expect rather than unexpected. But when you think about it, the Christmas season every year does seem to have just certain unexpected events that we can't always be ready for, that we can't always prepare for. The Christmas season can be filled with uncertainties and all kinds of unexpected events and circumstances. Think about all that happened on that very first Christmas, that biblical first Christmas that really was unexpected. Mary and her virgin conception with Christ was certainly unexpected. It was unexpected to her. It was certainly unexpected to her fiancé, Joseph, traveling from Nazareth to Bethlehem because of a census, and then finding no place for them to stay and the time for birth now upon them, Mary having to give birth to Christ in a barn or a stable of some kind was certainly an unexpected surprise, an unexpected event. I believe that they had no thoughts that when they got to Bethlehem that that would be the case, that they would be giving birth there in a stable, and Mary placing baby Jesus in a manger. On the night of his birth, the visit by shepherds to Mary and Joseph as they came to see baby Jesus, and then hearing the story of how an angel appeared and a whole host of angels appeared to the shepherds and explained to them what had taken place with the birth of Christ was certainly an unexpected surprise. Having to leave Bethlehem and then flee to Egypt rather than return home in order to protect baby Jesus from being killed by King Herod was certainly an unexpected surprise as well. And oftentimes, that's what the season of Christmas brings with it, is just unexpected events, things that maybe we kind of have all of our plans and we kind of have all of our thoughts of how the Christmas season is going to go, and then God interrupts those plans with maybe some unexpected news or some unexpected events. Sometimes those unexpected events are glorious, sometimes maybe not so glorious. And I have no idea what unexpected events may occur in your life or my life this Christmas season. There are certainly sure to be some, but the good news really is the certainty that the Christmas season brings with it. That there are certain expectations that we can look forward to in the celebration of the Christmas season. With all of the unexpected, there are certain expectations that every Christmas brings with it. And the birth of Christ is a celebration of hope that we just talked about a moment ago with the lighting of the hope candle. It's a celebration of love. It's a celebration of joy and peace. And we can absolutely expect and be 100% certain that the birth of Christ is a birth worth celebrating. Amen? Every Christmas season, we can expect a celebration of a birthday of a Savior who has brought to us great news, good news, the best news. And as we prepare our hearts to celebrate the birth of Christ this Christmas season, rather than focus on what we can't expect, let's focus on what we can expect. And what we can expect, and this is how your outline is going to begin this morning, is that Christmas is a celebration of the hope-filled expectation of salvation. First of all, Christmas is meant to be a celebration. It is why we say Merry Christmas. It's because Christmas is meant to be a joyous occasion. Christmas is a birthday celebration. It's a celebration of the birthday of Jesus. And birthdays are meant to be celebrated. And that is why we celebrate Christmas. Now some, every year, may want to interject and say, well, we really don't know that December 25th was the day that Jesus was born, so I'm not going to celebrate it. And to that I say, bah humbug. It is true. It is true that we don't know the exact day with any definitive knowledge that Jesus was born on December 25th. That is true. But we do know that we have set apart a day to celebrate the birth of Christ. And the birth of Christ is worth celebrating. And it is just so happened that we have celebrated it, or set it apart to be celebrated, on December 25th. So don't let the fact that December 25th may not have been the exact date that Christ came into the world, don't let that stop you from losing your joy in the celebration of Jesus. Because what we're celebrating is the fact that Jesus did come, and that Jesus was born. And this is the day that we have chosen to celebrate that birth. And one of the reasons why Christ's birthday is worth being celebrated is because of the hope that his birth into the world gives us. At its core, Christmas is a celebration of hope. It's a celebration of the hope of salvation. In Matthew 1:21, that I referenced there in your outline, the angel Gabriel, in explaining to Joseph about Mary's miraculous virgin conception, tells Joseph, she will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. The hope that the coming of Jesus brings is the hope of salvation. The name Jesus means Savior, or one who saves. And the greatest need we have as human beings is the need to be saved from the penalty of our sin. Amen? We have no greater need than to be saved from the penalty, the just due penalty for our sins. If our greatest need was worldly prosperity, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need was an education, then God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been social reform, God would have sent us a sociologist. If our greatest need had been deeper level thinking, God would have sent us a philosopher. But our greatest need was salvation from our sin. And so God sent us a Savior. And that Savior's name is Jesus Christ. That is what we are celebrating this Christmas season. The hope that the coming of Christ brings. The hope of salvation that the coming of Christ brings with it. So let me give you there on your outline four reasons why Christmas is a celebration of the hope-filled expectation of salvation. Why Christmas is a celebration of the hope-filled expectation of salvation. Four reasons why Christmas is a celebration. And I really get this from Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 11, where it says this. The angel said to them, so the them are the shepherds. So this is the whole passage of Scripture where the shepherds are being told about what has just happened with the birth of Christ and how Mary has just given birth to a Savior. It says, the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And so the first reason Christmas is a celebration of salvation is because, one, it's personal. It's personal. Verse 10 says, I bring you. And that's very personal. And Christmas is meant to be a celebration of a gift that God has given to you and to me. And it is a personal celebration of something that God has specifically done for each of us as individuals. I bring you. Two, it is positive. The verse says, I bring you good news of great joy. The birth of Christ is very positive. It's good news that brings great joy. Number three, it's universal. It's a celebration that is universal. It says, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. Christmas is a celebration of hope for everyone, for all people. Yes, for individuals, and I can say it's a celebration for me personally as I celebrate a gift of salvation that God has given to me. But I can expand that and say it is also a celebration that is not just for me and it's not just for you, but it is for the entire world. It is for everyone. Christmas is a celebration of hope for all people. It doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, what you've done, where you've been, or where you're going. The good news is for every single one. That is why Christmas is a worldwide celebration. And number four reason why Christmas is a celebration is because it's priceless. It's priceless. Verse 11 there in Luke chapter 2 says, today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior. There is no price tag on the salvation that the coming of Christ as our Savior brings. You can't put a price on it. Salvation is a priceless gift. I put that on your outline. A, the gift of salvation is a priceless gift lasting forever and meeting your every need. The salvation that Christ brings, it doesn't run out, it doesn't get old, it doesn't ever expire. It's a priceless gift that benefits you forever and ever, for all eternity. And what's more, it's a gift that meets your every need. Your need to be loved, your need for significance, your need to belong, your need to be forgiven, your need for peace, your need to be guilt-free. It's all met in the salvation that Christ brings. And another reason the salvation of Christ is priceless is B there on your outline, is because if there is no hope of salvation, then there only remains a terrifying expectation of divine judgment. Apart from Christ, really all we can expect is judgment. As sinners, of which we all are, we all stand to be condemned and judged guilty by God. If there is no salvation by which we are forgiven of our sin and put in a right relationship with God, then there only remains a terrifying expectation of divine judgment. It's what Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 and 27 says. It says, for if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgments and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. Apart from Christ, we have no hope. All we can expect is a just and a due penalty for our willful sin against a holy and a righteous God. And for this reason, the birth of Christ is a celebration. It's a celebration of the hope-filled expectation of salvation. And this is why the reality of the biblical Christmas story is so crucial. If the biblical Christmas story is not true, then we are doomed. If the Christmas story, as given to us in the Bible, as specifically given to us in the gospel accounts of Matthew and Luke, are only make-believe and they belong in the same category as Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Frosty the Snowman, then we have no hope. We are left empty and void of hope and void of a salvation that the coming of Christ has brought. So I put on your outline, B, here's the hope of salvation that is dependent upon Christmas. Really, the hope of our salvation is dependent upon Christmas. So when we celebrate Christmas, what we're celebrating is the hope that God has given to us in Christ and the salvation that He brings. I put there on your outline, the hope of our salvation is 100%, not 99%, not 99.5%. The hope of our salvation is 100% dependent upon the truth of the entire Christmas story. Amen. The entire Christmas story. So let's begin with the beginning of the biblical account of the Christmas story this morning, when the angel Gabriel came and spoke with Mary. And one of the realities that Luke wants us to know is that Mary was a virgin and that her conception was a miraculous virgin conception. So our salvation hope rests upon Mary's virgin conception. So let's just look at Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38 this morning. I know that this is familiar passage of Scripture, hopefully, for all of you. But in Luke chapter 1, we have a miraculous story that Luke gives us about how it all really begins. It says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, who was of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, the angel said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was perplexed at this statement, and she kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb, and you will bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason, the Holy Child will be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I'm a bondslave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. We won't take a lot of time to belabor this point, but certainly Luke wants us to understand that when Mary conceives Jesus, she is a virgin. It says so in verse 27. We're told again this truth in verse 34. And occasionally the question is asked, is holding or maintaining the virginity of Mary really a necessary part of the Christmas story? And the answer is absolutely yes. It is yes, one, because the Scripture tells us very clearly of the virgin conception of Mary where Jesus is concerned. And so if you don't hold to that, then you completely dismiss the reliability and the truth of what Scripture teaches us. But even beyond that, there are important theological implications and truths that are connected with Mary's virgin conception of Jesus. And I've listed just three of them for you. Mary's virgin conception makes possible the uniting of full deity and full humanity within one person. You know, Colossians 2:9 tells us, "For in Christ all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form." And one of the great doctrinal truths about Jesus is that he is both fully God and fully man. And he is fully God and fully man in one person. The Bible clearly tells us that Jesus is God. He's not just like God, or he's not just someone who has some godly attributes and traits, but that he is 100% God. Specifically, he is God the Son. He is part of the triune nature of who God is. God is triune. God is one person. He is one God who is made up of three persons. He is God the Father, he is God the Son, and he is God the Holy Spirit. One God who exists in three persons. And as God, Jesus has always been God. He's been that way from the very beginning, for all eternity. There's never been a time that Jesus was not God. There's never a time that he became God. He has always been the eternal God. However, Jesus has not always been man. The celebration of Christmas is that eternal God became man. He became a human being. This is what is known as the incarnation. God the Son becoming man. And what's incredibly important for us to keep in mind is that when Jesus became man, he never stopped being God. What is incredibly important for us to understand with the Christmas story is that Jesus, in becoming man, never stopped being God. He didn't give up any of his divinity in the incarnation. Remaining what he was, he became what he was not. And in the incarnation, he became man. The truth of Jesus' humanity is important. It's important for us to uphold his humanity as much as it is important for us to uphold his divinity. They are equally important. And the virgin birth is how God, in his infinite wisdom, ordained a combination of both humanity and divinity existing together in one person, in the person of Jesus Christ. A second important theological implication about Mary's virgin conception is that Mary's virgin conception makes possible Christ being fully human without having a sin nature. And so one of the things that sets Christ apart from every other human is that Christ lived a sinless life. We are all sinners. We all inherited a sin nature. We inherited that from our first parents, from Adam and Eve. Scripture very clearly teaches us that we are all born with a sin nature. The one thing that sets Jesus apart from every other human, Jesus was like us, he was fully human, and he was like us in every way except for this one truth. Jesus never sinned. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin." Jesus was tempted in every way, and yet he overcame every temptation, and he never sinned. And one of the reasons why Jesus was able to never sin is because he did not have a sin nature like you and I do. The fact that Jesus did not have a human father means that the line of descent from Adam is partially interrupted. So Jesus did not descend from Adam in exactly the same way in which every other person who has ever lived has. Mary's virginity is essential in being the reason why the sin nature that belongs to every other human being did not belong in Christ. And then a third important theological reason for Mary's virgin conception of Jesus is Mary's virgin conception shows salvation is from God and it's supernatural rather than natural. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no man may boast." The virginity of Mary and her miraculous conception by the grace of God helps us better understand the grace and miraculous power of salvation. Salvation ultimately is of God. It is a work of divine power, not merely the work of human effort. And the same is true when it comes to the conception of Christ. It was not by human effort. It was by a miraculous God doing, and that helps us see and show that salvation that comes to us in Jesus Christ is a gift of God. And then when you think about the Christmas story, another reason why our salvation is 100% dependent upon the biblical Christmas story being true is because, number two there in your outline, our salvation hope rests upon Jesus really being born. That he really had to come into the world. That it's not just a man-made story. That it's not just fictitious about God becoming man and being born into the world. If Jesus was not really born into the world and the incarnation of God becoming man never really happened, then all the hope of our salvation is lost. I put on your outline, no birth means no perfectly sinless life lived. If Jesus didn't really come into the world as man and God at the same time, then that completely takes away Jesus growing up and living a perfectly sinless life. And he had to live a perfectly righteous life in order to be the Savior of the world. The Old Testament law required that a perfect, unblemished sacrifice be made as a sacrifice for sin. And an essential truth of the Christmas story is that Christ, being fully human, lived a perfect, unblemished, sinless life, never committing a sin of any kind in either thought or deed. And that is exactly what we're told in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 through 9, where it says, "Knowing that you were redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life that has been inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished and unspotless." And that's Christ. He is an unblemished and spotless sacrifice. Blood sacrifice that was made on our behalf. B, no birth means no death as payment for our sins. If Christ were not really born and the incarnation didn't really happen, then the death of Christ means nothing. The death of Christ means nothing where our salvation is concerned. In order for us to be given new life, someone had to take our place. There had to be a payment made by death on our behalf. And that payment was made by Jesus Christ as he satisfied the wrath of God the Father on our behalf. This is exactly what 2 Corinthians 5:21 says. It says, "He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him." 1 Peter 2:24 says, "Jesus himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and that we might live to righteousness. For by his wounds we have been healed." No birth would mean no resurrection from death. Essential to the hope that we have for our salvation is not only that Jesus was born and that he lived a sinless life, and that his life ended on the cross in death as a payment for our sin, but he didn't stay dead. He rose from the grave, and he was resurrected from death. And in order for us to have new life, Jesus could not remain dead. Our resurrection from the dead is dependent upon his resurrection from the dead. And this is exactly what happened. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 16 through 20 says, if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sin. And that is certainly true, that everything about our hope of salvation rests upon the resurrection of Christ from the dead. But it all started with the reality of his birth. All of these, a perfectly righteous life, a death on the cross, and a resurrection from the grave, are all necessary for our salvation. And they all begin with the reality of the birth of Christ. Therefore, I put on your outline D there. No birth means no new birth and no living hope. It means no new birth for us. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 3, that we must be born again. We must have spiritual life. That's what I mean by new birth. So if Christ didn't really come into the world, if the incarnation didn't really happen, then that means no birth for us, which means no living hope that the new birth, that the salvation that we have in Christ brings. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 4 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again, and here it is, to a living hope. That is what the Christmas season is a celebration of. Amen? It is a celebration of a new birth, of a spiritual birth that we experience through faith in Christ, that is all made possible because of the incarnation, because of the birth of Christ, because of the celebration of his birthday. It gives us a living hope. A hope that will not disappoint. A hope that will not fade away. A hope of a reservation in heaven forever and ever. Everything about our eternal hope is dependent upon the factual events of Christmas. Everything about our eternal hope is dependent upon the factual events of Christmas, upon a virgin conception and upon a God who became man and came into this world as we celebrate his birthday this Christmas season. Let me close with 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. For as many as are the promises of God in Christ, they are yes. So all the promises of salvation that God has given us from the very beginning, from Genesis chapter 3, when the sin entered into the world, all of the promises that God has ever given to us for our salvation find their yes in Jesus Christ. And that yes is predicated upon Jesus being born into the world as a human being. That is why we celebrate Christmas. That is what the celebration of hope this Christmas season is all about. Let's pray together. Father, it is indeed our confession this morning that Jesus Christ is our hope of salvation, our hope of eternity, our hope fully and completely in you. And so as we think about all of the different ways that we'll celebrate this Christmas, God, may it be a celebration of hope, of the hope of salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. And we will give you all the glory, and we'll do it in Jesus' name. Amen.